No night should be this cold. No moon. The stars glinting like shrapnel. And no sense of where or who I am. I just know I am walking home.
Such a long time you've been walking home, Frank.
This must have been a uniform once, if I could only remember what regiment, what reason we had to slaughter each other.
Try to remember, Frank.
I'm so cold. So numb inside. They say when a bullet hits you, your body goes into a state of shock where you feel no pain.
But that's just a comforting lie. Like eternity. Any man you saw got shot screamed as he lay in the open.
They screamed at you to finish them off as you scrambled in terror over the dying. They tried to grab your bayonet and finish the job themselves. Surely I had a life once where no man's land would sicken my core. Once upon a time. But what time?
No night should be this cold. No moon, stars glinting like shrapnel. You just know you are walking home, Frank.
Time to push on. I pushed on one time through 90 miles of rain to Salonika.
Bayonet charges through the trees. Remember?
I remember an orphaned girl, feet blue with cold, her eyes so...
When will I know the taste of bread, Mama?
If I had bread, I'd have given it to her. All I had was my army greatcoat.
So you gave her your coat instead. Remember.
I wrapped it around her shoulders because I knew how it felt to yearn for bread as a child.
When will I taste bread, Mama?
Afterwards, I didn't mind the rain or bayonet charges. I minded that my reading glasses had been left in my coat pockets.
All the men you've seen mutilated and gassed.
Yet I wept over the loss of reading glasses.
So right away, Salonika, right away, my soldier boy.
I marched into Salonika, my back so crippled with rheumatic arthritis I could barely stand upright. People staring at us like a line of ghosts. And I knew nobody back home, if I ever reached home, would understand this. Who are you? Where did I say I was walking to?
You're walking home, Frank.
You can't just walk home from a war. If I don't rejoin my outfit, I'll be shot. Maybe I fell behind in the dark. Got to think straight. Where was I last? Ypres, with its rivers of mud, smell of trench rot. Oh, no night should be this cold. The stars. Oh, maybe I was on watch. They shoot sentries who fall asleep. It teaches you a lesson so you never do it again.
I'm the one on watch, watching over you.
Feels like I've been walking forever. I had a family once, a name. I should have photographs. All soldiers pass photographs of sweethearts along the trench by the lights of flares.
Remember Ellie, Frank. She just wanted something more.
I just want something more, Frank.
I've hardened laborers' hands, though my face feels boyish.
Remember me, Frank? The foxhole in no man's land?
I remember a boy's terrified eyes that had ceased blinking. You had photographs, I remember. A German dog tag. You were dead, but at least you knew who you were. I'm going mad talking to myself. Amnesia, that's the medical term. Military tribunals call it desertion. They cure amnesia with a bullet, especially if you're Irish. Am I Irish?
Then what are you doing here, Frank?
In Ireland, I built roads. I'm only a lad, but I work with grown men. Fat cows surveying us from a rich farmer's land. Not my land, I possess no land. Fields are like women.
Only for looking at and longing for.
Only for looking at and longing for.
Stop your chat, boy, and brew us some tea. Thick enough to race a mouse across.
We've no milk.
Haven't you a winning way with cows? Hop into that field and say, Gertie, a wee squeeze never hurt anyone. If you're this shy around four-legged females, well, God knows what you're like with two-legged ones. Go on, go on. I'm parched. My throat is as dry as death.
My throat dry as death. I remember building another road over mud so thick you couldn't race a mouse across it. A mouse would sink like I watched wounded men sink from sight. No foundations but the bones of the dead. We're laying planks across mud with everything stretching away to eternity.
When was that, Frank?
Oh, I don't want to remember. I want to remember building roads in Ireland, working on highways awash with steaming tar.
That wasn't where you last smelt tar.
I feel you're dragging me through time for sport. Who are you?
O angel of God, my guardian dear.
What?
To whom God's love commits me here. What's next in the prayer, Frank?
Ever this day be at my side.
To light and guard, to rule and guide.
To light and guard, to rule and guide. Since I could walk, my hands have been hardened by work. Fields in winter, potatoes to be picked, and a woman waving to us. Our cottage empty. The great cold after we finish school. But this is not her fault. It is for our sake that she stoops in the darkening fields, hands raw in the churned up mud.
There's Mama, Frank. I'll race you to her.
Mama! I'm running with my kid brother Joe through rows of withering stalks, almost as high as us.
Too excited to feel famished because we're calling her name, and slowly she straightens her jaded limbs and aching back.
Scolding us for coming, yet glad to see us because we're such good little workers in our bare feet and ragged jumpers. Little Joe jigging about. We laugh, sinking to our knees. Three pairs of hands rooting before frost congeals the muck into corrugated iron.
The sooner we finish, the sooner we can turn for home. Isn't that right, Frank?
That's right, Joe. The road dark and our cottage unlit. But soon we'll be inside with a fire and bread from the oven, soft with butter.
Will there be enough bread, Frank?
Enough to appease the hunger inside us. Enough to think that God hasn't forgotten us again.
Then Mama's songs will make us forget how the bedroom is so cold.
Joe's body is warm as I spoon into him. He's asleep in seconds, and I know he'd walk through fire for me because he's the best kid brother in the world.
And Frank is the best big brother who'd mind me anywhere, even if Mama had sent us into an orphanage like people urged, saying we'd surely starve to death after Daddy died.
Mama never sent us away, even when our eldest brother Patrick came home from his job coughing up blood.
Oh, I can't sleep, Frank, with the sound of Patrick gasping for every breath. I can't sleep with all the sounds.
Of bailiffs banging at our door to evict us. Patrick's rasping cough saved us. The bailiffs, too scared of catching his illness to carry him from the cottage.
Are the bailiffs gone, Frank? So cold, hiding in this garden. Who are the men blocking the road?
They're neighbours, Joe. Neighbours who'll pay for Patrick's coffin. How empty the cottage seems that day without Patrick's cough.
Come out to the yard, Frank. Mama's burning Patrick's mattress.
That night, a new mattress appeared on our doorstep. Next morning, Mama dragged it into the house.
You two boys will sleep on this. I've lost one son. I'll lose no more to any orphanage. We'll live or starve, but live or starve together.
Mama kept us at home because we belonged with her. That's why I love to lie awake, spooned into Joe's body, knowing Mama is sitting up by the dying fire, mending for neighbours, with barely enough light to see by.
Maybe she doesn't need to see, Frank. Maybe even when she finally sleeps, her hands still stitch away to earn a few more pence to push us out into the world.
Where was I? This unearthly silence has me rattled. Normally there's mortar fire, and if the guns go silent, the other noises are worse. The screams of the not yet dead, caught in a barbed wire limbo, we with letters of condolence already dispatched.
You knew such a silence once before, Frank. You're walking 42 miles home from Rathfarnham through the night. You're 16 years old.
And scared to face Mama after she found me a job in Dublin, out of the fields and rain.
But you love the fields and rain.
Donning long trousers at 14 to bring in a farm boy's wage. Free to walk the roads with Joe of an evening with rarely a coin in her pockets.
Walking for miles.
Charging down slopes by the Boyne, pretending that Zulus are chasing us on horseback. Do Zulus ride horses, Joe?
They do in our games, Frank.
They do when we're roaming the American prairies, driving a farmer's cows down a lane choked of cowshite.
And behind us we can hear hordes of wolves and aborigines and Zulus.
And Apache and Cherokee and rebel Boers from South Africa, screaming in Dutch.
And they being chased by Roscommon bogmen in their hairy belts.
And behind them, Dublin society girls in red garters, wanting to commit terrible sins with our bodies. Not that Joe and me would know a society girl or a garter from an alligator.
Except that both would likely snap the fingers off you.
Even though I love my brother, Joe could swing left to lure away the Zulus, and I'd swing right to let the society girls chase me into the woods. I'd strip naked, knowing they were watching, and I'd dive into the green water, startling kingfishers and herons. Not a pick of fat on my young body after labouring in the fields.
You've gone quiet, Frank.
Joe's voice bringing me back to earth amid the swaying rumps of cows lumbering ahead of us. Away into that field, you brute of a heifer. Go on, go on. Close the gate, Joe, and we're done.
Will I race you home?
I'll show you something first.
Is it something you found? A drawing of girls in corsets?
It's something I wrote.
What class of yoke is that?
A class of poem.
Did you copy it from a book?
I wrote it, Joe.
If you wrote it yourself, how do you know it's a poem?
Doesn't it look like one?
Sure, I wouldn't know a poem if it bit me.
You're honest, at least, saying to my face what folk could say behind my back.
What did you tear it up for?
It was only bloody nonsense.
It was bloody marvellous. You could be famous, Frank. Have your words printed in the Drogheda Independent.
Don't be daft.
Did you show it to Mama?
I'll show her a poem if I get one right.
How will you know if it's right?
I just will, you daft sod. Now, go on, I'll give you a head start before racing you home. How many miles to home? I could have sworn I knew who I was a moment ago. I knew my name, rank and number. Could have sworn I had a brother with me. Such silence, like the world holding its breath. No noise except the beat of woodcock wings. I know where I am. I've to meet a girl in woods by the Boyne. I'm praying Ellie will come. All I possess are words, whereas her family possesses land. Land marries land, but she says my poems are like magic. Carrying them on her bicycle into the Drogheda Independent, where they're printed as curios between the local marriages and deaths. If my poems have any magic, it's because Ellie's white skin fills every line. I can see her through the trees with her back to me. When I put my hands over her eyes, she'll laugh and say,
"Get your bloody head down, man! Think you'll be sort of friggin' river? We're up to our necks in a river of mud where rats will gnaw through your boots. Listen to the guns flatten the Germans, eh? When we go over the top of Dawn, Paddy, the only white skin you'll find in Flanders is German flesh to drive a bayonet through."
The wood's gone. Ellie, gone. Just the stench of mud and decayed flesh. How could I have thought the explosions overhead were stars? Too dark to see the faces of men fixing bayonets around me. My dream was so real I can still feel Ellie's face. Don't walk away from me in the woods, Ellie. Don't steal my peace of mind. I want to wake up. so scared to leave this trench. Every time I black out, I dream about mustard gas. Mustard was a mysterious substance that rich folk decorated the side of their plates with when I was a boy.
You're holding that horse long enough outside this pub, Frank, lad. Come on, climb up beside me here on the way back to my farm.
Yes, master.
I'll not be your master much longer, no. They say your mother has a grand job for you in Rathfarnham in Dublin. A grocer's apprentice, no less.
I'd be scared of Dublin, master.
You're a good lad, a bit hard, scribbling away at night. But you'll be fine once you know your place. Come on. Giddy up there now, come on. The slowest horse in creation.
Darkness under the branches above the road. The master sleeps beside me. A jar falls out from the sack of provisions. Mustard. I unscrew it silently, place a finger to my lips, then want to spit the mustard back out. That's how money must taste like, I think. Bitter and yellow and burning. How long ago was that? Another lifetime, yet those fields still call to me. I see a robin on a broken stump and he sings of home. I see a sunset above a Flanders trench and imagine a Meath skyline. When was it that we paused at a cluster of trees? Dangerous to venture in where mines could be planted. But a blackbird sang in those trees, transporting me back to when I knew nothing of nerve gas.
Lance Cooper Ledwidge!
How could that blackbird have followed me into this war? I ventured under the trees where a rat bolted from the undergrowth.
Lance Cooper Ledwidge!
The rat dropped something at my feet. Half a hand, a thumb, and gnawed fingers. Were the fingers German or French, English or Irish? Had they once stroked a girl's cheek like I stroked Ellie's cheek on the night I failed to win her? The night I longed to say, "You mean more to me than life. I have no land, but I have prospects. My poems are being published in a London magazine. They call me a peasant, but pay 6 shillings a line." I failed to win Ellie because I was a coward. This rat knows I'm still a coward, too sickened to pick up the half-chewed hand.
Lance Corporal, come out from those trees or I'll do you for desertion.
The blackbird stopped singing. I flung a rock at the rat, who seemed to smirk, like half of Slane once smirked about me. 6 shillings a line in London, yet no job in Meath except digging roads. I knelt to pray for whoever once owned these fingers, whatever age or nationality or religion. Because we're all trapped here.
Frank! For God's sake, will you come out? Bloody poets.
I emerged and said nothing to my sergeant. We marched on in formation, but I walked alone. I closed my eyes to drown out the guns, and in my mind, I was once again leaving the village of Rathfarnham in the dark. I'm 16 years old and terrified, but I know I'm walking home.
You'll be there by dawn, Frank. Joe will waken, sensing something is wrong. He'll be standing out on the road, waiting for you.
Rathfarnham was Mama's plan to free me from farm labouring. We barely possessed the train fare to Dublin. From Dublin, it was a long walk to Rathfarnham. A farm boy pointing out the Hellfire Club, where rakes once chased girls in garters and played cards with the devil. Then the bridge over the Dodder, the constabulary barracks, and my own devil waiting in the doorway of the Rathfarnham house.
W.T. Daly, Esquire, proprietor of these premises, licensed to sell spirits, fine wines and stout. Ladies may enter to purchase household provisions. We deliver to the quality in their fine houses. To the Farrens of Knocklyon House and the Rogers family at Acrebrook. And we don't refuse pennies from the poor in Kelly's cottages. Can you ride a bicycle, boy?
Yes, sir.
Good. Because you start making deliveries this evening. Firstly, to Whitechurch Vicarage. You'll know it by the lime tree in the garden. Then up steep lanes in Ballyboden that would break a camel's heart and where even the sheep get vertigo. Now, stack these shelves, pack this lady's bag and smile.
Mr. Daly's backside would be the envy of any meath cow, tightly imprisoned in shiny breeches. If a short-sighted bull passed by when Mr. Daly was bending in his shop window, he'd have something more urgent to complain about.
What did you say, boy?
Nothing, sir.
Nothing comes from nothing. That's Shakespeare. Do you read, boy?
Any books I can find, sir.
Oh, I don't approve of shop boys reading. It gives them notions. Unless Lives of the Saints, although maybe not. Too many bad examples of charity. Can you write?
Yes, sir. I love to write.
Write down the price of everything. Everything has its price. Sugar, snuff, sheep drench, carbolic soap. Write down the prices and memorize them. Know your prices and know your place, and you know all there is to know about the world. Now sweep the floor before God's free daylight is gone.
For 5 nights, I climbed daily stairs to an attic bed.
It feels so lonely in the bed without you, Frank.
Joe's voice, Mama's voice. Every bend of the road home calling out to me. I fought against homesickness because I was now a grocer's apprentice, learning to understand the world's limits by writing down the price of carbolic soap. But on that fifth night, verses spilled from my head, words beyond the horizon of W.T. Daly, Esquire. A poem stirred by my longing for home. It will break Mama's heart if I return empty-handed, but the words conjure up home so vividly that I know I have to return. I creep down the stairs of Daly's Emporium, past chests of Indian tea, boots hanging from the ceiling.
You close the door and stand in Rathfarnham village. Behind you, the dark mountains. Ahead of you, the haze of distant lights from Dublin City.
No night ever felt this cold. No moon. The stars are glinting like shrapnel.
You cross the Dodder unnoticed. The night as quiet as the land of the dead. To your left, the parish of Talla. If you were a blackbird, you would see isolated townlands with barely a light shining. Old Bawn with its paper mills. Jobstown's teeming streams. Balrothery Hill. And the green hills amid the darkness stretching towards Lucan.
No sense of who I am or where I am. I just know I'm walking home.
Into Harold's Cross and along deserted Dublin streets until you reach Glasnevin Cemetery. Here the road dips to Finglas Bridge. To your right, the fields of Ballygall stretch away to Santry.
I climb the main street of Finglas Village. The darkness stretches ahead towards Ashburn and Slane. I am beyond tiredness. I just keep walking, carrying my uncertain gift of this first true poem. Will I be there by daybreak?
There and back again, sir.
So why should I be scared when my whole life stretches ahead? I'm not scared because I know when I finally arrive, Joe will be standing on the road at dawn.
It's the queerest thing, but I could have sworn Frank was coming home.
Joe, I'm home at last. Can you not see me?
Sure, I wouldn't recognize you, Frank.
Why not?
You're so scrubbed up. Hurry now, or you'll be late.
Where am I going?
To dine in a castle, man. Who'd have thought that a few poems in a copybook would open such doors? Away with you. On your next journey.
Yes, I remember a headlong rush of years. A decade of toil since the night I walked home from Rathfarnham. Sacked at 20 for leading a strike in a flooded copper mine. Stooping in farmers' fields, then finding work mending the roads.
All that time, the poems keep coming, printed in the Drogheda Independent. Think, Frank. Try to remember where you are.
Ellie's white skin lighting up every verse. Ellie, where are you? What place is this I'm trapped in?
You're outside Lord Dunsany's castle, Frank. 20 miles and 1,000,000 miles from our cottage. You're knocking at the door to which the postman delivered your copybook of poems. Remember?
I remember the tilt of the butler's nose directing me to the tradesman's entrance before his lordship appeared in the vast hall.
I have long looked for a poet from among the Irish peasants. From this day on, Frank, regard my library as your library. Think of us as fellow writers and colleagues.
I want to read every book here by you and by all the other Irish writers.
I'll ensure you meet them, and, more importantly, that the world discovers your remarkable poems.
I remember thinking I'd found a world where what counted was the words I possessed and not the possessions I lacked. His Lordship introducing me to people who rarely noticed my type, who mend roads or wash their clothes. Half of Slane mocking me for trying to be something I wasn't, for cycling into Dublin in a bow tie to visit the literati in their salons, passing around press cuttings from American speaking tours. But this didn't make me belong, as they queued to shake hands with his lordship's protégé to meet a real road worker. Their butler's eyes frisked me on my way out. Then the long cycle home, mother never closing her eyes until she heard me come in. Joe waking in the room we shared.
I left out your working clothes, Frank. Did you read the many poems about us?
I did, Joe. Now go back to sleep. But there was little about our poverty in my poems. Nothing about tunnelling for copper in a flooded mine shaft or filling potholes in the rain. The lexicon of what earned 6 shillings a line in London held no room for our lives. They wanted spider-peopled wells with the poor hidden away behind honeysuckle.
Use my library at your will, Frank, but I may not be back until Christmas.
Where are you going, Your Lordship?
War broke out this morning, Frank. I've enlisted. They made me a captain.
A war between Britain and Germany is not Ireland's war. Our struggle is for the right to rule ourselves. It's what I've always agitated for. We won't win that in Belgium.
You stay and fight your battle here, Frank. But I need to fight mine abroad. We have different loyalties. Don't try and follow me, because war and poets never mix. I thought I saw you yesterday walking with Ellie. I stopped the carriage, but she was with some other man.
Who owned no more land than me? Dempsey. A common labourer, but with more spunk. Not flouncing around pretending to be someone he wasn't. Dempsey didn't spend his life making speeches against the war at the Navan Board of Guardians, where I'd been elected to represent the common man.
They don't come more common than this road worker lecturing us about Ireland's right to be free. If this pro-German traitor loves freedom, he can show it by fighting for small nations like Catholic Belgium. But for all his socialist talk, the coward seems better with limp poems than stiff resolve.
Innuendos and taunts. Saturday night in the Cunningham Arms in Slane, the gramophone blaring full tilt.
Wind up that record again, Joe, and get another drink. I'm going outside to shake hands with the unemployed.
The back wall of the unlit yard, a row of men, each trying to leave a higher streak on the stonework. Cigarette smoke, a thump of hobnailed boots across the cobbles. A broad-shouldered, confident presence beside me, Dempsey. An old farmhand beside Dempsey, winking.
That's a mighty brute you have in your hand, Dempsey. A hiracle's in like a lion and out like a lamb.
I didn't look up, my hand shaking. Dempsey's voice.
That class of dirty talk is out of order, John Joe.
I strayed my aim to sprinkle Dempsey's boots. I wanted him to hit me so I could hit him back. He was bigger, but I didn't care. He could punch me senseless once I got one chance to punch him.
Don't worry about splashing my boots, Frank. I know someone would lick them clean.
Dempsey turned away, unruffled.
Did I ever tell you, Frank, what Mrs. Finnegan, the midwife, says? And she delivered young Dempsey. Mother of God, but it's a boy for sure. And his grandfather was surely a racehorse.
Dempsey winked to the grinning men.
You're out of order, John Joe. Besides, the midwife mentioned no racehorse. The term she used was a stallion.
I stood out there in that dark yard, knowing that when I re-entered the pub, every drinker would be smirking.
Pouncing about like a Dublin dandy. Yeah, he can't keep his hands on a girl.
The poems are grand, Frank, Ellie said that last night in the woods. But I want something more. I'm not an ornament.
Oh,
Who changed the bloody gramophone record? Can't a man go outside without some fool changing the record?
I was sick of the same bloody record, Frank. You don't own the gramophone. It's not some family heirloom from your mother's cottage.
Mention my mother again and I'll stretch a line of you across that floor with my fists.
Would that be a 6 shilling line, Frank?
Ructions and the publican barring me, claiming I was astray in the head. Joe found me hunched under the bridge. It's too cramped, Joe, don't you see?
What's too cramped, Frank?
My life in this goldfish bowl. I thought poetry would earn me respect, but all I earn here is mockery. Every man has a label for me. Pro-German, coward, traitor, failed lover. I've no hope of a job except mending roads. They laughed in the Drogheda Independent when I asked for a reporter's job. Sure, you're the poet of the roads, Frank, they said. Readers love to think of you writing poems in the ditches. Stick to what you know. Know my place, they mean. There's no place for me here except on the roads. I'm going to enlist.
Are you mad? You said no Irishman should enlist. You came to blows with people over it. Our battle for an Irish Parliament won't be won in Belgium.
No, but I'm starting to think it might be lost there. I'm no Briton, but if the only way to fight an enemy common to us both is to wear their uniform, then I'll not have people say that while Britain defended us, I just sat in my backside and passed resolutions.
But Frank, after all your talk...
Oh, can't you see, Joe? All anyone in Ireland does is talk. All I did with Ellie was talk and see where it got me. She took me for a coward.
Going to war won't win Ellie back, Frank.
I'm not trying to win her back. I'm trying to forget her. The world had a lot of forgetting to do because thousands of young men were queuing in that Dublin barracks. Queuing to find work or blindly following their pals. They were queuing in Glasgow and Cardiff, in Hamburg and Dusseldorf and cities I'd never heard of. Recruiting sergeants, herding us into line.
Harry, lads, or the war will be over by Christmas and you miss your chance to impress the girls in your shiny boots.
We were going to war like it was a football match. Being paid 7 shillings a week, a shilling more than a line of poetry in London. But I was finished with words. I grabbed my bayonet and twisted it through a sack of rags. Maybe the Dublin lads saw German faces, but I saw other faces as I plunged in that bayonet.
Dempsey, with his hands on parts of Ellie you never dared imagine, boy. Stick the blade into his guts! Faces of mine owners with stingy wages. Into their ribs, boy! The face of W.T. Daly of Rupfolnham and all the grocers on the Navan Board of Guardians who called you a coward. Twist the steel into their bellies! Watch their mockery change to fear! Do you see them there? Despite their talk about duty, they're safe behind their shop tills, jingling out hymns of profit. Enough, men! Enough! Stop! Stop!
But I couldn't stop, because the face I kept seeing in that sack was my own face, haunting me.
Frank? Is that you, Frank? What are you doing here? I told you not to enlist.
I've a mind of my own, Your Lordship.
Your hands were made to write poems, not kill people. Remember that.
I will, Your Lordship.
He will in his house. It's bayonets on! Charge!
We charged through cheering crowds on Dublin quays. We charged up beaches into the teeth of Turkish guns at Gallipoli. We crouched in the sand and rose and charged and retreated amid slaughtered bodies. We charged and charged as the battle fronts changed. What never changed were our screams during each charge.
Into their guts!
Bayonets tangled in the ribs of dying men. Lads tugging to retrieve their rifle and run on through the mud. Terrified and terrifying. Inhuman and too human. A continuous scream emanating from our throats as 2 years flashed past.
Corporal Ledwidge, you have post. Looks like this parcel travelled halfway round the world.
On starvation rations in Serbia, a tattered parcel reaches me. Songs of the Fields, my first book, containing the poem written above Mr. Daly's shop. how far away home seemed in Rathfarnham. But a road had led home from there. There is no road home from Serbia. I read that childhood poem again while men quietly freeze. No sound except a soldier crippled with frostbite. The curse of God on such coldness. My head crippled with thoughts, filled with ghosts.
I just wanted something more, Frank. I wasn't an ornament.
You're not dead, Ellie. You live on in scraps of poems, lost in trenches, caught on barbed wire, too rain-soaked to be legible.
You know I'm dead, Frank. I married Dempsey hastily and died in childbirth, exiled in England decades ago.
I don't want to know. I only have to close my eyes for you to haunt me. I open them again and find myself amid this row of silent men awaiting the dawn attack. Eyes expressionless in the flash of shellfire, rain splattering against steel helmets. I sense my comrades around me, yet when I turn my head, they're gone. Joe? Ellie? I can't remember how I came to be in this place. I only remember we were building a road. We paused for scalding tea. Torrential rain. Dying men drowning in mud. All of Flanders was aflame. All of Pilkem and Boisinge and Ypres. We were building a road amid screams of dying men. We paused for tea. And then... I don't want to remember. Why am I alone in this purgatory?
You're not alone, Frank.
Then why can't I see you, Ellie? Is this no man's land or the promised land? Why am I trapped for so long in this eternity? I can't go forward, yet I can't go home. I'm 29 years old. I'm 19. I'm 9. I'm continually walking back through time, seeking one moment when I'll feel safe, when I'll glimpse a fading sky between withering stalks and the woman who will cure my hunger.
You know how long you're here, Frank.
I cannot measure time anymore, Ellie. I'm half blind. At first I thought it was from the smoke through which soldiers rise from the trenches to be slaughtered.
That isn't what blinds you.
I'm blinded because my eyes remain mortal, even in death. If I could let go of the world of the living, I'd be able to see my companions cross these Flanders fields, seeking their roads home. But I can only sense the dead brush past me. Close your eyes and feel them brush against you like cobwebs. The dead who love you, whispering your name. Some whisper names that no living soul remembers. Names of dead girls who whisper back.
The thousands of young men who shivered in trenches at Passchendaele, who crouched in dugouts at Messines, longing to flee as they awaited a captain's whistle.
Who followed each other up mud-caked ladders, an officer's bullet awaiting any man who turned back.
Three blind mice, see how they run, see how they
three
run.
Blind mice, three blind mice, see how they run. They all run up to the farmer's wife, who chopped off their tails with a carving knife. Did you ever see such a thing in your life? Three blind mice. I was a blind mouse scurrying about in a grain sack with no way in and no way out.
I wanted someone to hold me amid the bullets.
I want someone to find my remains. A splintered skull and two rows of teeth biting into a rusted identity tag.
Feel them pass, Frank. Another shoal of souls from Ypres. Always one confused soul struggling to keep up, unable to accept the truth. It's time you took flight. Time to try and walk this road home again.
I don't know how. I'm still not ready.
Think of one night, Frank, when you knew you were truly walking home.
Creeping down the back stairs of Mr. Daly's shop, crossing Rathfarnham Village in the dark. I'm carrying my first poem and I'm walking home. Will I be there by daybreak?
There and back again, sir.
For 97 years now, I've been walking home. My name is Wolfgang, and I am walking home. My name is Gunther and Gabriel.
My name is Dirk and Dieter.
My name is Friedrich and Flavio.
My name is Jonas and Jasper.
My name is forgotten. I've lost my legs.
Mustard gas still burns in my lungs, though my lungs were eaten by worms.
I am the unremembered great-uncle whose features you inherit.
I live on in your laugh.
During lovemaking, I'm reincarnated inside your intake of breath.
You are not walking home alone, Frank.
No, I sense thousands walking in tattered uniforms. Why are you following me?
I'm not following you, Frank. I'm Edmund Cholmondeley Lambert Farren, my body missing in Ypres. I'm walking to Knocklyon House, Temple Oge. This is Hastings Killingley, age 21, from the vicarage Whitechurch, Rath Farnham. Remember the lime tree in his garden?
And I'm Joseph Whelan of Whitechurch Road, Rath Farnham, with James O'Toole of Temple Oge and John and Patrick Nolan of Saggart.
Alexander McCann here, Frank, walking to Larkfield Cottages, Crumlin, with Simon Scully walking to Newtown Cottages, Tala.
And Patrick Emmett here, with my son and namesake, keeping you company as far as Finglas Village, with John McDonough, whose mother's house is on the green.
A fellow poet here, Frank, Tom Kettle, with you beyond Finglas, where I'll turn off for St. Margaret's.
I'll be with you as far as Slane itself, Frank. Joseph Lynch, we shared many a night's drinking.
We shared a name, Frank. Francis Ledwidge, from Thomas Street in Dublin. I died aged 17 in the Royal Dublin Fusiliers.
And Michael Ledwidge here of Francis Street, Dublin. I died aged 18.
Thomas Clark here, Frank, aged 24, from Castleknock. Willie Pierce, aged 20, of the Yorkshire Regiment. And Father Willie Doyle, Jesuit. I died near you at Ypres.
Make room for the other Doyles. Joe Doyle of Tala, Patrick Doyle of Rathfarnham, and Joe Cullen from Ballyboden. Remember how the hills there would break a camel's heart.
John Dillon of Kelly's Cottages, Rathfarnham, sharing your road. And Herbert Victor Wyan of Lucan, who died 3 days after you in Flanders.
We died on the same day in the same battle, Frank. Richard Rogers here of Acrebrook, Rathfarnham, with my brother George.
And your friend, Thomas MacDonough, walking towards St. Enda's of Rathfarnham, divided by uniforms, united by dreams. And Willie Pierce beside me, faithful like younger brothers are.
George Harburn and George Griffith here, Frank, both Finglas men, with George Attlee of Rathcoole. We call him George the Third.
Stop pushing, lads. We'll all be home by dawn.
And John Bell of Finglas. I was only a child. I got shell-shocked in Flanders. I started walking, thinking I was walking home. They shot me at dawn.
I'd be leaving you at Finglas, Frank. Thomas Fowler, cutting across the fields to Santry.
And James Moore with him, walking to my birthplace of Abbeville House in Kinsealy.
James Connor leaving you now, Frank, heading for Old Bawn with the other Tala lads. James Collins and John Clark.
Stop this! Answer me. Do these men ever reach home?
Every night some last stragglers like you walk this road, Frank. But forget about the others. Forget everything. So you can start your journey again. This time, I promise, we'll reach the end.
Wait! I know your face.
Of course you know me. Now, say the opening words. No night should be this cold.
No moon, the stars glinting like shrapnel, and no sense of who I am. This must have been a uniform once, if I could remember. Time to push on. Where was it I said I was walking to? On the tip of my tongue. So parched. I must be shell-shocked. It feels like I've been walking forever, but I know where I am now. The main street of Slane, with me not having written to tell a soul I'm being shipped home on leave. There's Joe in the window of O'Neill's Grocers. What a night we'll have, Joe. We'll visit Matty Maguna and sit in his orchard. Ah, I had new poems, but I lost them in my walk. Just so glad to be home when I never thought I'd see Slane again after all my bad premonitions.
Frank? I'm going daft, Mrs. O'Neill. I could have sworn I saw Frank pass by your window in his uniform.
Joe, I'm standing in front of you.
Maybe he's come home on leave and never told us.
This is a cruel time to play tricks, Joe.
I'll walk out to the cottage just in case, and maybe see him along the way.
You won't see me, Joe, because I'm dead. Such a simple thing, yet hard to accept. But I'll walk with you some of the way. I remember everything now. I was building another bloody road. A battle raging, but we were safe, a mile from the front, watching scared men march forward and scarred cripples carried back. We were laying planks across mud in a thunderstorm, and I said, "Down your shovels, lads, there's tea coming." Pew, pew, pew. A stray shell. Impossible to know who fired it. The landscape covered in a confetti of words as I rose. All the poems I'll never write. My evaporating words fluttering out of sight. I should have felt grief, Joe, but I just felt sorry for the poor sods with that road to finish. I don't know why I'm telling you this, Joe, when you can't hear a word I say.
Sure, I'm listening to every word, Frank.
But I'm a ghost, Joe.
What do you think I am, after 97 years? Who do you think has been keeping you company all night? Will we catch up with him?
Who?
Your younger self walking home from Rathfarnham. Look, he's reached the last bend before home. Is he getting smaller, or is it the evening light? No uniform now, just ragged trousers and bare soles.
How old am I? Our cottage looks so dark after this long walk.
But at least I'm beside you, Frank. Even if we're shivering in the dusk.
Come on, so, little brother. Let's help her finish her work.
Can you see her, Frank?
I can, in that field. Come on, Joe. The faster we run, the sooner we reach her. The fire is unlit, and I'm hungry and cold, and I'm running to find you, Mama.
The earth is buckled with frost beneath our bare soles, and we're so cold, Mama, that our flesh is turning blue.
And this field spreads out into infinity, frost laying siege to everything. You're stooped back, the only thing moving. Your face, grey as stone, your lips, colourless. I'm cold, Mama, and my soles are sore from the stones in the lane. But Joe and I have gathered sticks to light a fire once the work is finished. Little Joe jigging because he's only 7, but we'll help you finish these potato drills. The way you smile, the way your face lights up when you see us, so I no longer even feel the stones cutting my feet.
Francis, Francis.
The way you call my name, my throat parched, but you'll find me water and bread. Warm from the oven, soft with melting butter. So long since I've eaten, but I'll know the taste of bread when Joe and I reach you, when the work is finally done, when we walk home together through the dark, when the fire in our cottage is lit, Mama, and I finally know the taste of bread.